The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
What's up, everybody? I'm Najee Adams.
And I'm Hunter Jacobs.
And you're listening to the Hoop Bowl Nets podcast. We are back with another episode. I don't think we have recorded. We were on such a good streak, but I don't think we've recorded since the Nets have, honest to God, played a regular season game. So we are back. Make sure you subscribe to the Hoop Bowl Nets podcast on Apple Podcasts. Leave a 5-star rating and review. All reviews will get read on the podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Hoop Bowl Nets. You can follow me on Twitter at Najee Adams. Hunter is at Hunter_JKR on Twitter. Before we get, you obviously know what we're going to talk about today. Everybody knows what we're going to talk about today. But before we get into things, I hope you guys are having a happy new year. My new year has not started out great. I unfortunately got COVID, which is why we have not been recording, because I had felt like crap. So, yeah, but I'm on the road to recovery now, and we just couldn't let another week pass by, especially this week, without recording an episode. Before we get into everything, I want to give a huge shout out to mybookie.ag. Ever since we started this podcast, people have been asking us for betting tips. I always get asked, who you got, Lakers or Clippers, Rodgers or Mahomes? And I'll tell you what I tell them. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. That's why we tell people to bet with MyBookie. MyBookie's rep is rock solid, and they've got the best odds, contests, and promotions in the business. They're the only place I trust to handle my NBA-related bets and every level of NFL playoff games. You know us, and you know that we don't give out our stamp of approval easily. To earn it, you've got to be the best at what you do, and MyBookie is the very best sportsbook out there, period. It's simple. Sign up, enter promo code HOOPBALL, that's H-O-O-P-B-A-L-L, and get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. Head over to MyBookie if you want to add a little excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Bet with the best, bet with MyBookie. And boom. So, yeah, the Nets traded for James Harden, which I feel like we've been tiptoeing around this topic for the last, 2 months, honestly. Ever since Harden said that he wanted to get up out of Houston, the Nets were a prime destination. It came down to him basically, the Rockets got clapped by the Lakers, and James Harden was like, no, we're just not good enough. And yeah, the Rockets traded him the very next day. It was between us and the 76ers. And
well, apparently that's what they said it was. But then it came out today that there were also asking prices, that the Rockets threw out final offers to the Celtics and Heat as well.
The Heat one was just a pure fleecing.
I believe that the Sixers, Celtics, and Heat all made the great decision by not pulling the trigger, because the Rockets asked for far more from them than they did the Nets, for whatever reason that was. But they asked for a whole lot from all three of those teams. The only one that made sense why they asked so much was the Heat, because what, you're going to give them Dragic, Harden, Butler, and Bam without taking away all that depth they have, it made sense there. But the Celtics and Sixers offers were kind of ridiculous to me.
Well, when I look at it, it's kind of like the fact, it's crazy that we're even here to begin with, because Harden has like 2 or 3 years, I think it's 3 years, left on his deal. Like,
yes.
Usually when players force their way out, it's because they're going to be a free agent in the next season. So they're going to leave you regardless. Like, Harden had no leverage, if you really think about it. Like, he was just...
Why do you think he was trying to force it to a winning team? Because he wanted to... If they gave him to a team that wasn't going to win now, then what's the point of having that contract?
No, I 100% get it. I'm just saying, like... The player empowerment, I mess with it, but that's crazy. Like, the Rockets had all of the leverage in the situation. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't go anywhere.
But at the same time, then the Rockets had no leverage, because then he spun it that he wasn't even going to try. He wasn't going to play. He didn't care anymore. Like, he was going to play, but he didn't believe it was fixable. So then everyone knew that, not that they can lowball the Rockets, but it's a lower price than originally, because Harden really does not want to be there. And if the Rockets keep him, it only damaged them. So they had to move him.
That's what I'm saying, bro. I feel like we're going to see a lot more team, or not a lot more players that are not happy in their situations, regardless of how much time they have on their contract, getting up out of there. For example, Zach LaVine. I feel bad for that man every time he suits up as a Chicago Bull. He's got to get up out of there soon. I don't know how many years he has left on his contract, but...
I personally believe that this huge Harden deal that we'll discuss in a second opened the door for two of the Cavs' big men to get moved. I believe Blake Griffin will be on the move. I think Bradley Beal is going to get pursued. I believe LaVine will be pursued. This deadline can be very heavy.
Yeah, this could be one of the... Not only the deadline, but this season could be shaping up to be one of the...
As soon as next week, tomorrow. Who knows? It can happen any time, but I do believe that a lot more moves will be made around the league.
Harden was like the big news story. He was I feel like every year it's some disgruntled star that wants to get moved. Last year was AD, or 2 years ago was AD. Last year, I don't know who it was last year. It had to be someone. I just can't remember. This year it was Harden. Like, it's always someone. I don't know who that next person's going to be. Probably Bradley Beal, if I had to guess. But
Bradley Beal's averaging well above 30 points right now.
Yeah, it's just the NBA's biggest story is waiting to be taken advantage of. So some player's going to come out and go ahead and go for it. But
our friend who's a Heat fan didn't want them to pull the trigger on Harden. He believes he'll mess up the offense, but he does want them to pull the trigger on Beal. Which, I don't think Beal's price is as high as Harden's was, but I do think they will still have to give up Hero, Robinson, and picks regardless.
Facts. Shout out my boy Jalal. We didn't have him on the podcast, but like, we called him in a couple episodes ago. Shout out to his podcast, the Just Another Day podcast. Go check his stuff out. But yeah, we've been tiptoeing around the Harden trade the entire time. You guys are probably just like, say it. So cool, the Harden trade details. It's a mishmash of a whole lot of stuff. The Rockets ended up...
Let's get the easy one out of the way first.
Okay.
The Nets get Harden. That's it. That's the simple stuff. So then we'll go from least complex to most. So then the second would be the Cavs, who just got Jared Allen and Taurean Prince. And you could be asking why Allen and Prince went there when the deal was with the Rockets, but they made this a whole four-teamer. So then the third is the Pacers, who wound up with Caris LeVert, and the 2023 second-round pick from the Rockets. And now we get to the Rockets, who ended up with Kurucs as the only player from the Nets that they got. But they got Victor Oladipo, Dante Exum, 4 unprotected firsts in 2022 from the Nets, 2022 from the Bucks, 2024 from the Nets, and 2026 from the Nets, and then 4 pick swaps in 2021, 23, 25, and 27 with the Nets. So now we're going to give our grades for each team in this deal.
But before we do that, we got to pour one out. Pour one out to Rhodey. Pour one out for Karis. Pour one out for Jared Allen. Pour one out for Taurean Prince.
Most importantly, Jared Allen and Karis.
They've been here through the dog days.
Through it all.
Through it all. So, shout out to those guys. We wish them nothing but the best on their new teams. Jared's only 22. Karis is 26. He's about to ball out on the Pacers.
And now you can see why I was saying that it opens the door for the Cavs to move Drummond. Because Jared Allen's 22. And he's going to be their center of the future with Sexton and Garland. It really doesn't make sense that Drummond would be there much longer, even though he signed a deal. So you could see a team that desperately needs a center, the Celtics, make a move for him since they have many first-round picks and a ton of young bench players. But I believe that he's going to be one of the big men that are moved come deadline time.
Yeah, so we might as well get into our grades. We'll start with the Cavs since theirs is the easiest to outside of the Nets, obviously, who just got Harden. The Cavs are the easiest to kind of like explain. The Cavs got Jared Allen and Taurean Prince for a 2022 Milwaukee Bucks first round pick, which
they'll still have their big three, so that's going to be an awful pick.
Exactly. They got Jared Allen, a rising young center who's been playing great as of late, and Taurean Prince, who's still 26 years old, the best may not have come yet for him, for a late first round pick, which is going to be garbage anyway. That's a steal.
And Dante Exum, who I'm not going to lie, is not impressive to me at all.
Not at all. Not at all. He's on the waiver wire in our dynasty league. If someone's on the waiver wire in a dynasty fantasy basketball league,
a 30 team dynasty fantasy basketball league,
right? you know he's trash. So, but no, the Cavs easily get an A+. The only downside is that now they have a crap ton of big men. Just to break it down, they have Kevin Love, who needs to get out of there. It's been a while since he's needed to leave. Kevin Love, Larry Nance Jr., Andre Drummond, Jared Allen, and JaVale McGee. So they basically have
three of those big men can get moved. Love, Drummond, and McGee can all go. Obviously, they'll need to not move all three of them. But I do think it makes sense for them to, at the very least, if they make a move, they gotta move Love and McGee.
Crazy thing is, I honestly think that they can still get a little something for Kevin Love. Like, as far removed from his prime as he is, some team is going to be willing to give up a first or something. Like, they can still get a nice, not a package, but like, not a haul, obviously, but like, they can make it worth their while to trade Kevin Love.
Yeah, I think they should try and field offers for him.
Same with Andre Drummond. Like, a team lacking a center would most certainly give up a good little.
Also, another big man that could be on the move is LaMarcus Aldridge. Forgot to mention him.
Yeah, LaMarcus could also be on the move. I mean, I feel like he's just been rotting away in San Antonio for a while.
Well, it's because they're boring. No one talks about them.
Yeah, no. It is. So, bottom line, we give the Cavs an A+. They're going to move Drummond. They're probably going to move on from Kevin Love soon, too. Jared Allen is going to be their center of the future. And they got Taurean Prince, who, like I keep saying, is still only 26 years old. So, you know.
And if they, by chance, don't move Drummond, then they're going to also waste Allen, as the Nets have been doing. So, then Allen's just going to just be stuck in this miserable spot, sharing minutes with a veteran center. So,
let's hope that's not the case. So, moving on.
I really don't want that because I think Allen can be a quality starting center, but it seems like he keeps ending up in terrible spots for him.
So, here we have the good old, I guess we'll go with the Pacers. We gave the Pacers an A-. Now, the Pacers, they got our guy, my guy, really. Hunter doesn't have the faith that I do in him. Caris LeVert. They got a 2023 a 2023 second round pick from Houston. So that's what they got. Karras and a 2023 second round pick, and they gave up Victor Oladipo.
So, in the present day, Karis LeVert and Oladipo are almost the same in terms of value, maybe. Karis's ceiling is obviously higher. He has maybe two-time all-star potential for his career to me. Oladipo's not an all-star anymore. Won't be again. Almost guarantee that. And the Pacers now, I think, have a higher ceiling moving forward to compete in the East. Because with Oladipo, they weren't getting anything done. So just a change of scenery for both players. And Damian Lillard actually tweeted that he thinks Karras is going to ball out in Indy. So we could see Karras and Sabonis form a nice duo there.
I think a Karras, Brogdon, and Sabonis trio with TJ Warren, with Miles Turner is a good team. Like, that's a scrappy team.
Yeah, no, that's a good team for sure. And Brogdon also does not get enough credit. I mean, I think their two best players would be LeVert and Sabonis. But Brogdon's a very efficient, mistake-free basketball player.
100%.
Eight plays, and he's a winner. That's honestly what it is. If he had a great team around him, he's a winner. Which is why when the Bucks got rid of him, or when he went down that year against the Celtics, well, they beat the Celtics that year and lost the next series. When Brogdon went down, I believe that was the reason they didn't win, and then not re-signing him was the biggest mistake that the Bucks made. Brogdon was huge for them. He's just so underappreciated to me. And also, don't forget they have Jeremy Lamb if he ever will return this year.
That's a fact. I forgot about Jeremy Lamb. That's a good team, bro. Like,
and then they have both Holidays off the bench.
The Pacers are a nice, scrappy team. Like, I definitely think that it was a win for them. Like, A minus.
I also do believe that, I said this to my friend yesterday, one of those top teams in the East might get ousted in the first round by the Pacers.
What's good with the Raptors, bro? They are garbage.
For one, they have no bench. Nothing. Their bench is Chris Boucher, who's been balling. But he's not even bench because he takes all of Baines' minutes anyway. So they don't have a bench. Norman Powell's not playing all that well. And Lowry's time is coming. His time is coming.
It's basically so, Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam.
And it's a whole lot of spin moves from Siakam, so.
Yeah, they're in a whole lot of disarray. But we give the Pacers an A-. They're a scrappy team. And no team in the East wants to see them in the first round. I can guarantee you that. And like Hunter said, I would not be surprised if they bounced a prolific team in the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. On to the Rockets.
Well, I think we should do Rockets and Nets at the same time, being that we gave them both the same grade. Because I believe, in terms of the overall value of the trade, I think the Cavs and Pacers actually made out the best. They were added to it and actually made out better than the other two teams. But the Rockets and Nets, I think, broke even on what they gave up. And they both get a B+ from us.
Yeah, like, and I know some people might be like, wow, you gave every team a B or A. Like, okay, that's just because this was a good all-around trade.
This is not a trade where there was a loser. Unless the Nets don't win a championship.
But, and like we talked about before, the
way that there is a loser in this deal, because the Rockets picks in the back end of this deal are guaranteed to be high. It's not even a debate. They're going to be solid picks. And then they're still not a bad team, and they picked up a couple young players. So I think the Rockets might have made out the worst in the deal overall, but they had no other options really. And these picks down the road, as we saw last time the Nets made a blockbuster, turned into Tatum and Brown.
Yeah. We'll see
these picks turn into for the Rockets. Obviously, a 2027 draft pick right now is in like seventh grade. You can't really know who that's going to be, but it's some seventh grader out there that's going to be wearing a Rockets jersey in 7 years that would have been on the Nets.
So, like, yeah, like Hunter said, I feel like for the Rockets, like Hunter said, we both gave him a B+. The picks they got in the front half of the 2020s is not really going to do much for them because the Nets are still going to be good, but a lot of the value from the picks comes on the back end.
And it'll be 2024 and beyond, which they have 2024, 5, 6, and 7.
So, yeah, we'll see what the Rockets hit from that. And then the Nets got James Harden. That's, you got a top 5 player in the NBA, one of the most offensively efficient players in NBA history, a walking bucket. Like, you now combine him with KD and Kyrie, and you give up some depth, but like,
I agree with you, everything that you said except one thing. I don't think he's top 5 per se. For me on my list, he's 7 or 8.
Could you say a top 5 talent then?
I mean, he's a top 2 scorer that we've ever seen, to me. Him and KD are the 2 best scorers of our time.
All right, now, then put it like
a
this.
A lot of people think LeBron should be there because he can score at will. But I think KD and Harden score so effortlessly at such a high volume that they're the 2 best scorers. That's me personally. And putting them on the same team is special. Now, Harden is only 7 because of how many good players are above him. Like, the people above him for me are literally LeBron, KD, AD, Giannis, Kawhi, and Steph, and then Harden.
For me, I put it like there's very few, if anyone, in the NBA now that can do what Harden does.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And so you get a player whose skill set is really unmatched. Like, you couldn't have gotten a Harden from anywhere else. There's only one Harden in the entire NBA. And for you to now have him on your side going against these other top level teams, like, that's where you get, that's where the value comes from. Like, that's where, like, Luka is like a LeBron clone, you know, like, scores, gets the triple doubles, like, da da da. But like, who's a Harden clone? Like, we haven't seen one really. Harden, people don't do what Harden does on a regular basis. Like, he obviously, you know, like, there's some off the court issues with him. He likes to do his thang in the club, but like,
not even just that. Obviously, there's going to be some concerns because he's failed in the biggest moments. Well, now you have 2 NBA champion superstars next to you, one who made one of the biggest shots of all time in a Game 7, then one who iced a series in LeBron's eye while winning 2 out of 3. So
yeah, the pressure significantly comes off Harden, and like I said, like, you got a once in a generation player, and there's not many of those. So that's where the Nets picked that up. Now, those were our grades. I want to talk about, because I've seen on Twitter a lot of Nets fans scared because they talk about how this trade compares to the 2013 trade. So now, just to go back over that, it's widely considered the worst trade in NBA history.
and honestly, it was because the Nets never made it out of the second round even.
So that trade, in a nutshell, was back in 2013... Brooklyn was trying very, very hard to go for a chip. And KG and Paul Pierce. And
for once, I will say, Danny Ainge wasn't sitting down doing nothing and decided that he smelled blood and he went for it.
So,
and he offered them a 36-year-old Paul Pierce and a 37-year-old Kevin Garnett.
Along with Terry and DJ White. And so that's what the Nets got. KG, Paul Pierce, Jason Terry, DJ White. On the back end, the Celtics received a whole bunch of trash players. They got Gerald Wallace.
All the bad players first before you get to the reason the trade was a success.
Exactly. They got a whole bunch of trash. They got Gerald Wallace. They got Chris Humphries. They got Marshawn Brooks. They got Chris Joseph, Keith Bogans. And then, like, all those players, we already know, they're not amounting to anything. Here's where the value hits.
Those picks that we were hoping turned out to be this became...
The first round picks in 2014, 2016, and a 2017 pick swap, and then the 2018th pick. The 2016 pick became Jaylen Brown. The 2017th pick became Jason Tatum. The 2018th pick was traded to the Cavs for Kyrie Irving. So when you look back at it, the Nets traded Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown for KG, Paul Pierce, and Jason Terry, and DJ White. And that is why it is considered the worst trade in NBA history.
Awful. Now, this trade has nothing to do with that because Harden isn't 37. He's 31. Those 6 years make a world difference because, one, you'll see... Probably, I mean, for most players, there's almost no all-NBA seasons when a player's 37. When a player's 31, they're still mostly in their prime. So,
I mean, let's just talk, in bare talent, Harden is better than anyone that they were getting.
Yes.
Like, when you just break it down in its simplest forms.
Then they're scared. And I get this fear is because if LeBron and AD win the chip this year, right? Which they can in reality because, yes, the Nets have three, but the Lakers still have those two with Schroeder and Harrell and Gasol and Kuzma and all of these players that the Nets don't have on their bench. So it's not going to be easy. Regardless, if they don't win this year, Nets fans are going to start thinking, wow, the window's getting smaller, and we lost all those picks. What if we don't ever win one? That's a reasonable fear. Because if they don't win one, the Nets grade in this trade in the future is an F. But it's hard to see how they don't win one in the next 3 years.
And I think that's the risk that you have to take. Like, when you go back and look at that Lakers trade, had the Lakers not won the chip last year, or had they not won a chip period, that trade for Anthony Davis might have gone down as, okay, they got fleeced. But now, nobody cares because they won the chip. If the Nets do win the chip in the next 3 years... We won't care that in 2026 and 2027, we don't have those top picks because at the end of the day, we got our chip. Like,
yeah, that's what happens. I'm going to throw another sport in this for an example. The Yankees and Cubs made a trade where the Yankees gave Aroldis Chapman to the Cubs in 2016 and got their number one prospect, Gleyber Torres. Now, on face value right away, the Yankees win that trade, but it's not for the immediate future, even though the Yankees had a winning team. But the Cubs win their chip, and Chapman signs right back with the Yankees. But no one cares that they lost Gleyber because they did their job of winning the chip once they got Chapman. It's the same thing. Once you win a chip, your goal was complete. So what everything you did in that trade does not matter. Now they can't win for another 15 years and no one will care because they got the chip they wanted.
And in all reality, the Nets weren't winning. With that package of KG and Paul Pierce, like, they were never realistically winning the chip. They just weren't.
Maybe if that lineup was all 5 years younger and they had Darren Williams, Joe Johnson, Paul Pierce, KG, Brook Lopez, all in their primes, hell yeah, that team's winning five straight. But they were all old.
Until now, the Nets traded for a very, very good chance. They're 90% sure they're coming out of the East. All they really have to compete with is the Lakers. And so KD's proven that he can beat LeBron before.
There's going to be East teams that take them six. It's like, it's not going to be 4-4-4. Let's say, because remember where they're seated right now. They're not going to end up as one. They're not going to end up as two, most likely. They're probably going to see themselves at the very best as a three seed. Unless Harden and Kyrie come in and they don't lose. But let's say the Nets end up as the three seed, right? Their first round matchup's more than likely going to be the Heat. Or the Sixers. The Heat or the Pacers. One of those two, probably. That's not going to be easy. And then in the next round, they're going to have the Celtics. That's not going to be easy. And then in the next round, they're going to have the Sixers. Still won't be easy before they get to the Lakers. Their road's going to be tough. So it's not a guarantee they make it out the East or even win in the first year. Because if you remember how awful that Heat team looked in the beginning. They started, I believe, 8-9 in their first 17. And people were beginning to panic already. It's possible that they come in and they don't know how to gel together. Yes, Harden and KD played already, but guess what? So did Harden and Westbrook, and it didn't look all that great.
They're two different players than they were back then as well, you know? Like,
So they're all... Kyrie and Harden are very ball dominant. Kyrie hates not having the ball. He hates it. He's the reason Tatum couldn't grow as fast as he could have, because he wanted the ball every time up the court. Harden also wants the ball every time. That's how KD scores the ball. So if they don't figure out how to share with each other, and the fact that their support is not all that great, aside from Joe Harris, it won't be good in year one.
And yeah, I think as we get deeper into this pod, we're going to talk about like their holes on the roster, some guys they could possibly sign. But before we do that, we just have to say that none of this happens, when you think about it, without that 2018 roster.
Look, that's what, when we went back, it's like that was their tryout to have a bright future.
That was the turning point for the franchise, bro.
Like, that it's crazy because that culture was centered around Pinson and D'Angelo Russell, run by Kenny Atkinson, and it all opened the door for them to now have Nash, D'Antoni, KD, Kyrie, and literally only be left with Joe Harris and Dinwiddie from that roster.
That's crazy.
Use that roster to pick apart everything and build a winner, which is brilliant what Marks has done.
When you look at that roster, bro, Jared Allen, gone.
Literally, everything will be justified with a championship, even if it's just one. Everything is justified with a championship.
And that's how championships work, bro. That's what they do. They wipe your memory. Everything's reset after that. But
that's teams that, like, were the Raptors, where they just had it. Yeah. They drafted those players. They built that team. Unless it's something like that, then it's most likely a risky trade that gets you there.
It's just crazy how that works, because like Jared Allen is gone now. Damari Carroll is gone now. Alan Crabb, gone. Ed Davis, gone. Jared Dudley, gone. Kenneth Faried.
A couple of these players, or at least one of them, could be making a return this year. We'll talk about that later.
100%. Kenneth Faried, gone. Trevion Graham, gone. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, gone. Rhodey, gone. Karras, gone. Shabazz Napier, gone. Pinson, gone. Big Sauce, Allen Williams, gone. And then D'Angelo Russell, gone. like the only retained players that the Nets have retained in the past 2 years are Spencer Dinwiddie and Joe Harris.
And mind you, Dinwiddie's out this entire season. So, the only one playing this season is Joe Harris.
It's just crazy because if, like, say D'Lo doesn't have that breakout season and get the Nets to the playoffs, regardless of whether or not they lost in five to the Sixers that year, I don't know if Kyrie says, okay, that's a destination I want to play at. And therefore, you don't know if KD says, all right, let's go play there. Like, all that is a domino effect started by Karis, D'Lo, Theo Pinson, Spencer Dinwiddie, Jamari Carroll, Jared Allen. And it sucks because they're the ones that fostered this culture that everyone wanted to come to. And now they're not even going to reap the benefits.
That culture doesn't exist anymore. That culture was used to get them to come here. Now it's not a thing anymore.
But they created, like, they're the reason that the Nets were.
I mean, obviously, Marks has a lot to do with it. He's been great, but yes, I see your point. That Nets team is the foundation.
And that's what Doug was saying. Shout out Doug. My son gets shouted out every podcast, but shout out Doug. He was saying, like, it sucks to not have these guys because, like, they fostered this team. They made the Nets a desirable destination, and now they're not even going to get to reap the benefits of a possible championship. And that stinks for me, for a lot of Nets fans, and that sucks. So, like we said, shout out to all those guys. And we're about to get into Kyrie and the where in the world is Kyrie Irving. Wait. Before we get into that, let me give you guys a shout out to our boys over at Manscaped. Happy New Year's from our sponsor, Manscaped. Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming, offering precision-engineered tools for your family jewels, and is here to help you have clean balls in the new year. Ring in that new year with the right tools for the job. Hunter and I both purchased the Lawnmower 3.0 Perfect Package. It's crazy because neither one of us told each other we were doing it, and then one day we were like, you know, I was like, I bought it. He was like, oh, you know, I bought it too. And we both figured out that we got it. I think you guys should follow our lead. Go ahead and get it. Spoiler alert, hairy nuts are still gross. Step in to the new year with the tree standing taller and shave your boys. Manscaped is here to give you a New Year's resolution that you'll actually want to keep. The Perfect Package 3.0 is the below-the-waist grooming package you need to start off strong this year. Come out of quarantine with clean balls thanks to the Lawnmower 3.0. This waterproof and skin-safe trimmer will reduce nicks to your two best friends. The third-generation trimmer even has a light to shine to the promised land 2021 looks to be. It's also time to freshen up down there in the new year. The Crop Preserver is an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? And for on-the-go freshness, you'll love the Crop Reviver Ball Toner Spray. Start the new year with a fresh set of testes thanks to Manscaped. Manscaped even threw in their Shed travel bag to keep all your goodies stored comfortably. Speaking of comfort, the Manscaped anti-chafing boxer briefs are also included and will bring your underwear game to the next level. Bring sexy back in 2021. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. And so, yes, Hunter's been waiting to rip Kyrie ever since the podcast started, and he now has his reason, so go ahead.
Look, it's like an I told you so kind of thing. I knew there were problems attached to Kyrie. Everyone's like, you just don't like him because you're a Celtics fan. The guy does not love the game. It's just that he doesn't love the game at all. I understand he's very worried about social justice issues, as he should be. But guess who else is at the forefront of those issues? Jaylen Brown. Guess who? Or that's just an example of one. And he doesn't miss games ever or ever leave the team. Because guess what? Basketball is your job. You got signed to play the game. So when you take personal time away to go to a birthday party and then use your reasoning once Harden's traded to you that, oh, I was testing every day after the party to make sure I never gave COVID to my teammates. Well, now that you're good, it's easy to come back and say that after you were gone and your coach had to say sure when they asked if you were going to return this season. The fact that Steve Nash didn't even know if Kyrie would return this whole season. Then they make the move for Harden. Oh, magically, Mr. Great Spirit Kyrie is here and ready to gel with Harden. And he's ready to play. And he's so happy and focused on winning a championship. I just don't think it's fair for anyone to have it spun that Kyrie is in the right here at all. He had no business leaving the team in the first place for even a single day.
He needs
to return to the team, prove to them he will never leave again, and go get the ring. And then everything that is being said right now can go out the window if he is another game winner in Game 7 in LeBron's face. But unless he comes with some fire in the playoffs, I don't want to hear it, because I knew he comes with his problems. That's it.
Are you done? You got it off your chest? You good now?
Yeah.
Okay, now, Kyrie leaving, he left for personal reasons, social justice reasons. Nobody really knows exactly why he left except Kyrie. And so I'm always the one to give him his slack. You know, I'm always the one to be like, Kyrie has a reason for his madness. There's a method to the madness with Kyrie. And the whole birthday party thing, I 100% get that. I would go to my sister's birthday party too, regardless of whether or not I was working or whatever. The thing is, you can't just leave with no communication to your superiors. Like, me and Hunter both have jobs. If we were to just go AWOL and just dip without saying anything, we would get fired. Or we would face some sort of backlash. Like, there would be some repercussions, as there are with every job. The luxury of being an NBA player, especially one the caliber of Kyrie, is that those repercussions are severely diminished, you know? Of course, you're going to get it from some people on social media. You're going to get thrown through the mud. But at the end of the day, you're not really losing anything too much. Like, you're more valuable to the Nets than any random food worker is at key food. So, like, people on Twitter being like, you know, you can't really. Like, it's different. Because Kyrie serves more of a purpose to that team than any worker off the street does to their company, you know? So it doesn't really stack up like that. But I agree. You can't just dip and not tell anyone. The fact, like you said, that Steve Nash wasn't confident that he was coming back for the entire season speaks volumes. Like, they didn't ask him, hey, yo, you think Kyrie will be back next week? They didn't ask him, you know, you think Kyrie will be back next month? They asked Steve Nash, the head coach, do you think Kyrie will return this season?
And this, and that's a question you should only get if the player is injured. The fact that he literally pulled a Derrick Rose.
He just dipped.
Just gone. Just bye.
He just dipped. And that kind of speaks volumes. And you know, now he's kind of coming out like, you know, he's excited. Reports have surfaced that he's excited, focused on gelling with Harden. I agree with Hunter. I think it's easy to say that now. You don't want to, now that the Nets really aren't, before the Nets got Harden, it was really like no one thought they were going to win the chip without Kyrie. We needed you. Now, when KD kind of has that second fiddle with or without you, it's different for you. Like, now your value has diminished. You know, like,
yeah, you're still important because now the Nets are the only team with three stars like that. But if Kyrie leaves, Harden and KD is still the second best duo in basketball.
And so you don't really have the luxury to not show up or to be as much of a nuisance as you were, because now, regardless, the Nets are going to be nice. Like, they're going to ball with or without you. So now the fact that you're sitting here causing problems, okay, we could flip you for seven picks, call it a day, and get back another young stud who still could make us a semi-big three, better than every team in the East.
They so, could flip this man for Bradley Beal.
And exactly, you know, like, and it wouldn't be a slight to KD, because he has his mans. Like, his man's Harden. He's on the team regardless. So now Kyrie doesn't have the leeway to be weird.
and this is not even us saying that they should move Kyrie, because I don't think they should. But now it's that he has to prove now that he's ready to play. That's it.
And that's just how it goes. I'm going to take this time. I've shouted out everything else. I'm going to take this time. If you guys are listening 43 minutes in, we rock with you. That means you rock with us. That means you rock with me. So go check out my podcast, the Run It Up podcast. You can find it on Spotify or Apple. I do it with Blue Wire. Shout out Kevin Jones, leader of Blue Wire, all that stuff. This upcoming Tuesday, the episode's going to drop on Wednesday, but I'm going to have my son Keith McPherson on. He's going to be my guest, the co-host of the Talking Nets podcast, to talk about this whole James Harden thing. So if you guys are more interested, want to hear more about what I think, about what Keith thinks, a little Nets crossover podcast, go check out the Run It Up podcast this upcoming Wednesday. The episode will be out. And yeah, get your fix of some Nets. I had to get my plug in. You know the vibes. So now how the team stacks up, like, looking at the Nets roster, so let me just say what their roster is flat out. Like, the Nets, their depth chart is just a sight to behold. It is Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Joe Harris, Kevin Durant, DeAndre Jordan. That's what their projected starting lineup is.
That's what it will be. And then their bench will be highlighted by Landry Shamet, Bruce Brown, Timothy Luwawu-Cabarrot, Jeff Green, and Reggie Perry.
We still got Nick Claxton and Tyler Johnson, Chris Chioza, Dinwiddie, but he won't be back this season. But next season, he will be back. So that's what the Nets roster is looking like.
Which means three open spots, right? Now, they applied for the $5.7 million disabled player exception for Dinwiddie. And if they are granted that exception, the rumor is they can use it to deal for Garrett Temple, Ed Davis, or JaVale McGee. Temple and Ed Davis are former Nets, and JaVale McGee would be a nice backup center, being that the Nets don't have one right now other than Reggie Perry.
I think that there's obvious holes on the roster. Sean Marks himself came out and said, without a doubt, the roster is not done. It's not yet finalized. We should be doing our due diligence. We have open roster spots. So I have the utmost faith in our scouting department that have, over the years, done a tremendous job for us. We'll continue to try and add pieces as we go through the season. So the Nets roster is not complete. Like Hunter just said, they have three open roster spots and a $5.7 million disabled player exception for Spencer Dinwiddie. I think that their biggest hole is backup center, now that Jared Allen is gone, and a backup guard, kind of, sort of, like a guard.
If you had to name your three players that you want them to have right now, what are those three?
I don't really care to get Garrett Temple back, I'm going to be honest.
Me either. I think Bruce Brown Bruce Brown essentially does the same thing as him. He's like a 3-and-D wing. I don't think Temple will play many minutes if they do get him back, so I don't see a point. The holes are point guard and center, so I think that's what they should focus on personally.
I think Ed Davis was really good here in Brooklyn. So he, I'm torn between him and Dwayne Dedmon. I think Dwayne Dedmon's nice enough to be on a roster already. So I don't really, I feel like there's something behind the scenes with him that he wants more than people are willing to offer him. But my first choice would be Dwayne Dedmon just because he can shoot the three. Like, Ed Davis isn't really a threat from beyond the arc. Dwayne Dedmon can shoot the three if necessary. So, you know, DeAndre Jordan can't do that. So adding a center that kind of makes up for the weaknesses that your current center has would make sense. So I'd say Dwayne Dedmon would be my backup center, preferably. Outside of that, with my two other roster spots, I'd probably go Isaiah Thomas just, and I know that's like the most chalk, flashy pick that you can go with, but like I feel like he still's got something left in the tank. He's very clearly has something left to prove, and why not? You know, like, you're already going all in on the chip, you might as well bring in Isaiah Thomas. Like, the talent is there, and see what he can do off the bench in a backup role if he's willing to accept that. And I'd bring back Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, honest to God. Between him and Jamal Crawford, I'd bring back Rondae Hollis-Jefferson just because he's got that high motor, and you know he's willing to do anything for the team. What about you?
So, I have one of the three same. I have Isaiah Thomas. I pick JaVale McGee. I think he'd work well with as the backup center. He might actually wind up taking the starting job, and KD knows how to work with him in the lineup. So, it could be beneficial to have McGee in the starting lineup and bring DeAndre off the bench if it comes to that. And then my third one, I say Damare Carroll.
Personally, he was my fourth option.
He does the same things that Taurean Prince did. They're almost the same player. He's just older and has regressed significantly. But I do believe that with a veteran team like that, Carroll could wind up finding a nice, decent bench role. And it could be worth picking him up again.
And honestly, I'm really curious about what you guys would think. So tweet at us at HoopBallNets. Here's the crop of free agents that we kind of put together. Jamal Crawford, Troy Daniels, Andre Roberson, Iman Shumpert, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Damare Carroll, Alonzo Trier, Isaiah Thomas, Gerald Green, Dwayne Dedmon, Ersan Ilyasova, Kylo Quinn, and Thon Maker. What is your top three free agents that you would sign if you...
underdog signing out of those, just saying, is Ersan Ilyasova.
Yeah, people always overlook him. I agree. I think
he gets some buckets as a stretch four. He can come off the bench.
Nah, I 100% agree. But what does this Nets offense look like with at full strength, not counting Spencer Dinwiddie, at full strength, meaning Kyrie ends his sabbatical and comes back? What does this offense look like?
See, it's like you would think it's going to be a whole lot of isolation ball, right?
I mean, like, yeah.
It's running. They're going to get assists based off of fast breaks. But when they're in a half-court set, it's whichever one of the three got the ball is going to have the ball. And unless people crash on them, they're going to keep the ball probably.
I think the Nets are in a very unique situation. I think they're going to have the best offense in the league, obviously, but not most teams don't have three top-tier defenders capable of guarding three of the best offensive players in the game. I think the only team you could argue that could is the Bucks. If you put Giannis on KD, Drew on Harden, and then let Chris Middleton go with Kyrie, I think you could make something out there.
Middleton would guard Harden.
I don't think so. I feel like Drew would do a better job with Harden.
But even so, the Clippers have three great defensive players.
Who? Are you counting Ibaka? Oh, Patrick Beverley?
Yes, Kawhi on KD, Paul George on Harden, Beverly on Kyrie.
Patrick Beverly's not a good defender, bro. I'm sorry. He's just not.
He can hold his own with Kyrie.
People think he's this amazing defender. He's really not. But okay, fine. He can disrupt Kyrie. Cool.
Oh, and I believe you're forgetting about the Boston Celtics also.
Okay, Jalen, Jason, and Marcus Smart. Yes.
Jalen on Harden, Tatum on KD.
I think that the Bucks have the best trio of defenders for the Nets, though. But I give you that.
Teams that could put up a fight, though, is what I'm saying.
I think so, too. I'll give you that. I think three max. But I just don't. I don't know exactly. I think we need to see what the offense looks like. I need to see a game with the three of them. We've barely seen KD and Kyrie play together.
You see, the problem is going to be when they play a team like the Sixers. Can DeAndre Jordan really do anything when Embiid has the ball? Because he is quite possibly the worst defensive player in the NBA.
I mean, I think defense overall is going to be a problem for the Nets. Like,
so, but that's what I'm saying. Embiid's going to do his thing. They need to stop everyone else. And it's not like they're all great defenders. So Embiid is going to have his way with this team. That's going to be hard for them to handle.
I don't. Looking at the Nets, like, they're going to have to outscore teams. I think they know that. Like, they're very well aware that they're going to have to outscore teams. But
it's like when the Lakers play them, do you want AD at the five?
Probably. I mean, yeah, he's going to cook DeAndre Jordan.
That's the thing. But then on the offensive end, who's guarding who? Because Kuzma's not guarding DeAndre Jordan.
I mean, no, but the Nets also aren't running their offense through DeAndre Jordan. So.
Yeah, but hey, he could just dunk on him.
Hey, I would rather you give DeAndre the ball every time on a mismatch than any of the three of KD, yeah, Kyrie, and Harden have the ball. Like, that, I'm willing to leverage that. Like, we can do that. Because at least 6 times out of 10, DeAndre Jordan is going to shank something. So, I'm fine with that. I'll take my chances. I just think that not a lick of defense. Like, looking at who plays good defense other than KD on this team?
Bruce Brown.
And a little, like, Jeff Green can do a little bit of something, but still, like, he's not disrupting anyone like that. Like, it's really just KD. Like, KD's your only high-level defender on the team. And that's not to say that you need multiple. Like, some teams make it work with just one. But, like, that's tough. Like, you can't really hide KD. I mean, you can't really hide.
For the one, that one is usually the center who guards the paint.
And a lot of teams, especially the Lakers, which are the Nets' biggest challenge right now, they hunt matchups. LeBron especially hunts matchups. Like, if you're putting out this lineup of five of Kyrie, Harden, Harris, Durant, and DeAndre Jordan, there's four players that LeBron can exploit. He can kill Kyrie, Harden, Harris, and DeAndre Jordan. You can't switch everything with the Lakers. You just can't. So that's going to be their biggest challenge. Like, being able to actually play. They're going to have to play some sort of zone, some sort of team defense, because LeBron's going to pick them apart.
It's not going to be easy to start, which is why I'm saying the Nets will not end as a high seed. They're obviously a lock for the playoffs. That's no question. But I don't think they're a 1 or 2 seed this season. I think it's going to take time for them to adjust.
And yeah, like I was saying, like, we have barely seen KD and Kyrie play together. So who are we to say what this trio is going to look like? A lot of people have been saying, and this is kind of where we're going to leave things off for now, but a lot of people have been saying that this is the best big three in NBA history. Like, I know Jay Williams said that. Like, what are your thoughts on that? Because I don't think so.
No. To me, until we see anything, they're third, maybe fourth.
I would say I wouldn't go that far. I would give them second.
Until we see anything, I can't. Because, one, Steph, Clay, KD is one. That's not a question to me. I don't think it should be debated.
And Steph, I think,
is better than Kyrie. KD is KD. Klay's not worse than Harden enough, as opposed to how much better Steph at that prime was than Kyrie.
And that's what I'm saying. I think since Klay hasn't played in 2 years, a lot of people are discounting how good he was. Like, Steph is better than Kyrie. As you just said, KD's KD. And then the gap between Harden and Klay, I don't think is bigger than the gap between Steph and Kyrie.
Fail to value defense when you're talking about players. Klay is an elite level defensive player. Harden is not. Steph and Kyrie are equal defenders, and maybe Steph's even a little better with hands, and Steph's way better overall efficiency wise on offense.
Yeah, so, I just think that they, until
that big three is won, there's a real argument here for me that you can put see, in terms of talent, they're too unquestioned.
I think Bosh really brings down that.
That's the next one. But like, if in terms of talent, yes, the next one is two. Until they win, you probably gotta put Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman in front of them.
I think if we're talking about, I think it's two different conversations, because if it's pure talent, I think they're two behind Steph, Klay, KD.
Yeah, if it's talent, they're two. If it's best trios in history right now, they're not top five.
They're not, because they haven't done anything. But by the end of it,
Ginobili and Duncan are ahead of them. If you're talking that right now,
by the end of their tenure together, I think there's a very real chance
they should climb most of those.
I think there's a very real chance they end number one. I just think it's going to take some time to get there. Like, that KD and Steph trio with Klay has two chips already. Like, you got to get to two.
If they win two, they're still probably two. But if they win three in a row, because that's probably what it'll have to be, then they're easily one.
And, yeah, I'm really excited to see what this team ends up being. I know Hunter is too.
We'll probably see them in action in the next couple of days, if we're being honest.
I think Harden has a press conference tomorrow at 1 p.m., so be on the lookout for that. This is shaping up to be a very, very exciting NBA season. The worst part is the whole coronavirus cancellations and postponements. But me and Hunter called that a while ago. Like, we already knew things weren't going to...
Last week, a head article, I wrote a whole paragraph about how it only goes downhill from here because of how the NBA made their schedule.
That schedule that they released 2 or 3 months ago, whatever, or like a month ago, that was never going to be the schedule that ended up playing out. It's just not.
All they had to do, and I was talking about this with Jalal, mention him again. They should have been playing in their corner of the country. That's it. It's that simple. Yeah, you're going to be playing the same teams a lot, and it's not fair for seeding. But these guys travel all around. They're going to get it. If they play in their corner of the country, there's a much better chance that less teams have tracing, less teams have to sit, less teams get it.
Bro, take it from me that it's crazy how it spreads, bro. Like, it's crazy. Like, I wasn't even in contact. So the way that this, like, I got it is my girlfriend's grandma tested positive. My girlfriend saw her grandma on Christmas. I saw my grandma on the 26th. I mean, I saw Christy on the 26th. I then didn't exhibit symptoms until January 2nd, and I'm still not 100% now on January 15th. Like, and in the time that I've been getting better, like, that one encounter has gotten like 8 other people sick. Not people I've encountered, but like just people in that house at that time on Christmas, bro. Like, it's crazy how it spreads. So I honestly agree, like, play in your corner, limit your travel as much as possible. And yeah, we only hope the best for the NBA. If they do take the 2 week pause, we'll see what happens. Like it's just gonna be more difficult. Like things, you're gonna just have to push through it. Every other sport did. The NFL had plenty of hiccups. They just kept it going. They took a lot of backlash. Not everything they did was ethically or morally right, but you know, they got to the end of the season, so I guess it worked out fine. And yeah, that'll do it for this episode of the Hoopball Nets podcast. We hope you guys enjoyed. This was definitely one of my favorite episodes. We're back on schedule. We're about to get back on our consistency. And yeah, we shall see you guys next Friday. Subscribe to the Hoopball Nets podcast on Apple Podcasts. Leave a 5-star rating and review. All reviews will get read on the podcast. You can also download our podcast on Spotify. Follow us on Twitter at HoopBallNets. You can follow me on Twitter at NajeeAdams_. Also subscribe to the Run It Up podcast. Like I said, Keith McPherson coming on this upcoming week to talk about Nets and Harden and all that good stuff. You can follow Hunter on Twitter at Hunter_JKR. And before we dip, let me give you your letter. Your letter is R.
Rashawn Holmes, Hoopball favorite.
And with that, we'll talk to you guys next Friday. Later.
This has been a Hoopball presentation.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.